There are thousands of homeless people on the streets who we pass by every day, and when they die, they often go unaccounted for, their stories untold. Now, a recent story in the Arizona Republic tells one of them.
She was known as the Safeway Lady, a homeless woman who lived and died near a Safeway in central Phoenix.
The community called her a lot of things. They called her the Safeway Lady, they called her the Bag Lady, they called her, you know, the lady who wears all black, or that homeless lady over there. Everybody seemed to know her. Nobody knew who she was, and also nobody knew that the other people knew her. So they all thought that, like, she was their own little secret.
Her name was Anita, but it wasn't until after her recent death that the community around her learned that fact. She was a mixture of that neighbor, or she was a fixture of that neighborhood near Glendale Avenue and 7th Street in Phoenix. And after she died, the people who saw her on the street every day came together to honor her life. Alden Woods, a reporter for The Republic, recently told the story of her life and how it affected the community around her. I sat down with him recently to find out more.
So in going through and talking with people who knew her right near the end of her life, and they said, you know, you should talk to this person. I think that she knew her in her 30s, or I think this person knew her when she was in high school. And then, you know, I heard she was married, so you should go pull the marriage licenses. And we pulled all sorts of these records. And what turned up was that she lived a really normal life. I mean, she grew up in Michigan and moved here with her aunt and her mom because they just needed somewhere to go. So they came to Phoenix and lived in this blue house on Witten Avenue. And that was really where she spent her entire life. She never left Phoenix. She ended up becoming homeless a few miles from the house where she grew up out there on Witten Avenue. So she really lived in a really small area where she spent most of her time.
How did she end up homeless?
She had some pretty severe bipolar disorder that she just wasn't able to get under control. And she lived in her aunt's house. And when her aunt died, and then she ended up getting a divorce from her husband, and it all just kind of snowballed and ended up where she just couldn't control it, it seems.
So let's talk a little bit about her death, which is where you actually begin this story. Mm-hmm. How did she die?
She was hit by a car. She slept against the wall of this gated community up there on Glendale and 2nd Street, 2nd Place, somewhere in there. And when she went into these episodes, her eyes would cloud over and she would just kind of wander all over the place. And she ended up wandering into the street late at night and somebody hit her and they just didn't see her. And then another car came and hit her again. And that was it.
Right. And after her death, news of her death started to spread amongst the community. And they decided to kind of get together and actually put on a funeral for her. Mm-hmm. How did the news spread? And tell us kind of what she meant to this community.
So there's a message board in the community. They have an app called Nextdoor, and they use it. But there were a whole bunch of different threads that popped up where everybody thought that they were the only ones who knew her. So they all said, hey, did anybody know that homeless lady who lived on Glendale Avenue? I think she got hit by a car. And everybody in this community, it seems, started to realize that they had all tried to help her, seen her. And then when they tried to track down the family, they realized that she had just kind of fallen into her own world, and they decided to do something about it.
So what did they do?
They tried to piece together who she was, and they tried to track down family and friends. And when that didn't work out, they decided, well, let's just have our own funeral. So they found a pastor who volunteered to do it, and they held a little service for her at a Lutheran church along the path where she walked. They tried to make sure that it wasn't too religious because they really weren't sure if she was religious or not, but they knew that she had a Bible somewhere, so they figured that that was a good enough indicator that they should maybe do something at a church. And then a little bit down the street at Church of the Beatitudes, they found a space in a columbarium for her, and they had another service a couple weeks later.
Wow. So you went to this funeral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this and who came.
A lot more people than I thought came. And everybody had the same look on their face where they didn't really know how to feel, because it's weird to mourn a person who you've never really known before.
Mm-hmm.
They all saw her and they all felt like she was part of this neighborhood. But you know, nobody ever really got the chance to build a relationship with her outside of just knowing that she was going to be somewhere on the street when they drove by at some point. So it was a strange mix of trying to celebrate a life that you didn't know, but also trying to remember how this happened. And there's some activity that popped up after that, trying to prevent other people in that neighborhood from becoming homeless as well, or trying to help the people who they knew lived alongside her out there.
Yeah, and it sounds like the people in this community had tried over and over again to help her, right? And she never really accepted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of people tried, and she just didn't didn't want the help.
So she was obviously just one of many homeless people around the valley.
Yeah.
And you tried to find out how many of them die homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Could you find out that number?
No. It's pretty hard to find out. The city of Phoenix doesn't track things like that, and the county, Maricopa County, doesn't track things like that. The only way that they could guess at something like that would be looking at the system. It's called the HMIS, and it tracks people who have used homeless services in the past.
Hmm.
So they can count the number of people who at some point in their lives have used homeless services and how many died. But it's impossible to know how many people die while homeless.
Hmm. What did you think about that when you found out there was no number? There was no way of tracking this. There were so many who might have died in the same way and never had been remembered.
It's just a strange thing to know that, you know, there are people who you see every day and then one day they're gone and you never know what happens to them. Sometimes in the Republic, we will print an obituary and it'll say, Phoenix 70 died on Tuesday. If mm-hmm. you know who this person is, call us and let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a hard thing to read. And I always wondered what happens to those people.
And that's what you did with this story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is try to figure out what happened to at least one of these people. So I wonder if you felt in writing this and in telling her story, mm-hmm. did you feel like you were sort of paying tribute to more and more people who never were identified?
Kind of. It's something that I wanted to do for a long time, being able to track a person through their descent into whatever happened and then after their death. It's really a strange experience to track somebody who doesn't know that you're tracking them and piece together a life where you saw the end of it, but nobody really saw the 15, 20, however many years before that.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope people get out of it when they read this?
I think the most surprising thing has been how many people knew who she was and how many people know, you know, somebody who lives in their own neighborhood who they've driven by all the time and wondered, I wonder how that person got there. I wonder how we could help out that person, and then never did.
Mm.
And this is really the story of an entire neighborhood that thought that every day and never actually did anything about it, or never was able to do anything about it because she wouldn't allow them to help her until she died. And it really seems like every neighborhood has, unfortunately, one or two of these people. And I've noticed them driving home. There's a guy who lives on my corner, and for the first time I stopped and talked to him. And I don't know, I think we'd figure out a lot of things if we all started doing that.
Yeah. Alden Woods with the Arizona Republic. Thanks so much.
Thanks.